I tell you, that man, your pastor, has been one of the greatest influences in my Christian walk. I mean, his passion for God and his passion to see people come to Christ is insurmountable. And it's definitely a privilege to be able to stand before you this morning and to worship God in the studying of His Word. Purity in God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, you don't have to turn there, I've just the reference. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Brothers and sisters, not only should we be pure in our sexual lives before marriage, but we should also be pure in our sexual lives after marriage. We should be pure in our relationships to one another by telling the truth and being honest and being trustworthy and being faithful. We should be pure in our relationship to those that do not know Christ. For God chooses us to be a vessel to draw people to Himself. We are to be pure in our business practices, so we will not tarnish the reputation of Christ. In every aspect of our life, we are called to be pure. And our greatest example of purity comes from our Heavenly Father. And I would like to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. What greater example do we have than this verse? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That is the standard for Christians, is to be like our Heavenly Father. That is our standard. And I was just thinking, wow, we could spend a couple days on God alone. So I just wanted to hit some of the highlights of God. Who is God? I think before we can be an imitator of God, we need to know who He is or who we're trying to imitate. Amen? God is the Creator. God is a Spirit. God is declared to be light. God is love. God is invisible. God is unsearchable. God is incorruptible. God is eternal. God is immortal. God is all powerful. God is all present. I like that for purity. God's watching you. I mean, God's there. No pressure. God is glorious. God is the Most High. God is perfect. God is holy. God is just. God is true. God is upright. God is righteous. God is good. God is great. We normally say it over a meal. God is great. God is good. God is gracious. God is faithful. Amen. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God is jealous. God is compassionate. God is a consuming fire. There's none beside Him, none before Him, none like to Him, none good but He. God fills heaven and earth. God should be worshipped in spirit and in truth. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it truly is an honor to be around friends. And Lord, I just pray that as we open up Your Word, Father God, that You will speak to each heart here this morning, Father. I pray, Lord, that it would honor You to draw all of us to Yourself this morning and cause us to worship You in such a way. And Father, I pray that You will speak to our hearts through Your Word, Father God. I ask, Lord Jesus, for Your clarity of mind. Father, that You will place the thoughts and, Lord, that You will just send Your Word forth, Father. And we know, Lord, that it won't return void. And Father, I pray most of all that You would be honored. Father, that You would be glorified in each of our lives. I thank You and I praise You. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And verse 14 in John chapter 1 reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full in grace and truth." So we see that God, the eternal, became flesh, and He lived among us, and He lived the perfect life. And we can honor Jesus Christ with our lives. Ephesians 5:1, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." Before we can become imitators of God, we must have a relationship with God as dear children. We have our children, they have a relationship with their parents. Well, we must have a relationship with God also before we can be like Him or mimic Him or be His children, His vessels. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And that's a wonderful thing about our Heavenly Father, is that He loves us, and He has given us a way that we can know that we have eternal life. It's not a hit and miss. It's not if I do good works or more good works than bad works. You know, we don't have to guess about this situation. We can know without a shadow of a doubt that if something was to happen to one of us today, that we can be in the presence of Almighty God. And wow, that wows me to think of that these things are written that we may know, the things in the Bible. That's why it's important. You heard this morning that we should study the Bible, that we should be, how can we cleanse our ways? But by the Word of God, you know, it's very important that we study the Bible and seek after God. 2 Corinthians 13:5 challenges us to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. And that's also very important that we, each one of us, search our hearts to find out if we are a Christian, if we are saved, if we are going to be go to heaven when we die. It's very important because not only is God is love, but He's also just. And you know, I think we lose that sometimes in the church today, especially here in the United States. Man, it's an all feel good, lovey dovey, God is love, like a grandfather. But understand that God is also just, and He will not allow us to come before His holiness with sin. The only way we can eliminate that sin is through the power of Jesus Christ and Him living in our lives. Romans 10:17 reads, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We want to get closer to God. We read the Bible, and we seek to understand the Bible, and it builds up our faith. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come unto him and dine with him, and he with me." Our gracious Heavenly Father seeks to have a relationship with each one of us. But the wonderful thing about God is that He's not going to force it. He's not going to ask you to be a robot. He's given us a free will, and we have to choose. We have to make that choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. It's one that we, each one of us, have to make. We have to make that choice. Are we going to follow God, or we're not going to follow God? If we follow God, we will have His blessings. He'll be faithfulness, like some of the attributes I just read. He will, you know, take care of us. He will follow us. But if we choose not to serve God, you will stand before Him in judgment. God will judge you for your sin. Amen? I'm doing my notes here. I need to... Alright, I think I'm on track. Ephesians 5:1 calls us to be imitators of God. And one of God's many attributes is holiness. Matthew 5:48 says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." We are to be perfect. I can't do that. Man, I was struggling with that this week. I said, "God, I can't be perfect." You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm always sinning somewhere in my thought life, a smart comment to my wife or something. I mean, God calls us to perfection. We can't do it in our own power. So what does that cause us to do? It causes humility in the Christian life. It causes us to get on our face and we say, "Oh, God, help me." Yeah. And it causes you to depend upon God. It causes you to trust in Him. We can't do it, but God gives us a helper. In Christ, we are perfect in our position in Christ. When we come to Christ, we're justified. God looks at us just as we have never sinned. But until that point, we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And God gives us a helper. Romans 8:9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So the Spirit of God dwells in us. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
That God would choose to live inside of us and come and dwell in us. Man, that humbles me right there. And I just can't believe it. 2 Corinthians 6:16 also reads, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their people, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Excuse me. So we see that God, we're to be perfect, but God gives us a helper. He gives us the Holy Spirit to come and to live in us. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit guides us. And I am so thankful. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. When you trust in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, man, even when you mess up, you're all right, you know. "For all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to His purpose." Not good things are going to happen to everybody. To them that love God. And my question to you this morning, beloved, is, are you an imitator of God? Or are you an imposter? Are you playing with God? Are you here this morning all dressed up? Is it a checkoff list for you? Are you here because your family drug you in or because somebody put pressure on you? Are you an imitator of God as a true believer? Or are you an imposter? Something to think about. Amen.
Amen.
Here's the question. Why should we be imitators of God? Verse 1, "Therefore be imitators of God as your children." Well, why? Why should we? Because what He has done for us. He has laid down His life. He has lived a perfect life. God didn't have to come down here and live on earth. God could have just wiped us all out and been done with it. But what He has done for us, He died on the cross for our sins. And some other things He's done for us, this book of Ephesians, I've been studying all week, and man, there's a lot of rich treasures in this book. And I was just sitting here reading, thinking, man, I want to tell them this, I want to tell them that. We don't have so much time. But here are some of the other things God has done for us. Ephesians 4:32, "Even as God in Christ forgave you," He forgave us. Ephesians 1:3, "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." He gives us the power to live and to love one another and to love others and to be a witness. Ephesians 1:4, "He has chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." That we should be holy and without blame. He chose us. He called us. Ephesians 1:7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Ephesians 1:13, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We don't have to worry about losing our salvation. I mean, the Almighty God seals us. It's final. He justified us. Whenever He redeemed us from our sin, He justified us. So in His eyes, we have never sinned. And He sealed us. So we don't have to worry about losing it. And that's why the brother Steve used to listen to a guy named Ray Comfort. And he never believed in follow-up. He said, I don't believe in follow-up. Because once somebody comes to Christ, then God's going to keep them. You know, as the great shepherd, He's going to keep them. Well, you might be asking, how do we become imitators of God? By coming to Him. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not biased. Anybody can come. Anybody, whosoever will, can come and drink of the Almighty God. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's a narrow way. I mean, we have a bunch of religions out there today that says there's many ways to God. That's a bunch of bunk. I mean, Jesus said, I'm the way. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ and by humbling yourself and coming to Him. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. How do we become imitators of God? By walking or living in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. How do we become imitators of God? By walking in Him. And I want to read this Ephesians 4:1-2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. How do we become imitators of God? By walking in Him and living in Him. Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the fertility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that's how we become imitators of God. We humble ourselves. We put off the old man. We put off the life of selfishness. We put on the life of selflessness, living for other people, loving other people, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Put off the old man and put on the new man by the power God has given us. You renew your mind. And lastly, you walk in love, just as Christ has loved us and has given Himself for us. A sweet smelling aroma. Christ's sacrifice on the cross pleased God. And may our life be a life of purity and please God also. So I'd like to ask you once again this morning, are you an imitator of God or are you an imposter? Are you truly born again this morning? May we close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for your word. And Lord, I just thank you for the time spent here today. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here today that is not an imitator of God, that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day that they invite you into their life. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as Christians, that you would help us, Father, to love one another and to be supportive of one another and truly live by the example that you have set forth in your word. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done for me. And I pray, Lord God, that others will come and taste of your goodness. It's in your blessed holy name we pray. Amen.